Hello friends, and welcome to another episode of the Gaming My Whole Life podcast, where we talk games, follow the industry, and geek out from pixels to now. Also, a shout out to viewers who are watching the YouTube version, where I have some gameplay of Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered running for your enjoyment. I blow some things up, and that never gets tiring. Jamel, my co-host, will not be joining us this week, but never fear, I have a fun topic to discuss today, and that is game cheats, or more specifically, where are they now? Let's have a look at the journey of game cheats, and why their absence today is a real downer. Now, game cheats is something which you don't really see that much in this modern day of gaming. It's a little bit of an unfortunate thing, and to support my point, when was the last time, say in 2018, which 2018 game did you buy when it came out and you quickly looked up online some cheat codes or looked into a game magazine for cheat codes so you could get unlimited weapons or god mode or invulnerability or the ability to walk through walls or, you know, things you used to do with like the old Doom, for example? Chances are, unless it's an indie game or very select few titles, you probably haven't done it, and if you have, it's been for just a handful of games. Now, there is a reason behind this, and the best way to understand that is to have a look at why we used cheat codes to begin with. So, cheat codes, they were around during, well, they've been around during the 3D era, but let's jump back to the 2D era, right? Let's jump back to the original Nintendo, original Super Nintendo, and the Sega Mega Drive, Sega Master System, whichever one you played. Now, games during that era were noticeably much harder than what we've had, than what we play today. It was very typical to lose, to die often, to rage quit, to not get a tutorial telling you how to play the game. You weren't guided at all, but we accepted it because during those times, during those early days of gaming, we had very limited space to work with. And by we, I mean developers. They had to put their whole game on a tiny cartridge. And even though it would only be 8 bits, or 16 bits, and, you know, just a few pixels here and there, they still didn't have much space to work with. So less is more was the technique they went with, and they would make a game which would be crafted brilliantly, and that's why games from those eras still hold up, but they had to be hard so then you didn't beat them too fast. Take the original Mega Man games, for example. You'd have 8 bosses, a couple super bosses, and you were done with the game. There wasn't really anything else to do, and that was deliberate. They didn't have the space. They couldn't make games too large. Was there larger games? Of course there was, but most developers brought out a very difficult game, so then you'd have to die quite a number of times, and that worked. What that also opened the door was that opened the gate so then gamers would want an easy mode. An easy mode typically didn't exist. It's whatever the game loaded up as, that's what you got. Blow it up. Pew. Sorry, the YouTubers will understand. You wanted an easy mode. An easy mode was normally extra lives, or maybe you couldn't die, or you could fly, or something like that. And that would be a nice break from the norm, because you'd keep dying. And as much as that was fun, because it provided a challenge, every once in a while, you didn't want to try hard. You're not always in the mood to die, and that's just a fact. So we had cheat codes, and almost every game that came out supported cheat codes to some extent, and you'd get the latest video game magazine so you can use those cheat codes and see what's available out there. Like, for example, the original Doom, I still remember to this day on the PC, IDKFA was all weapons, IDS, PIS, POPD, that lets you walk through walls, or it was the God mode one. But the point is, it's still my head, and, you know, the famous one, the up, down, left, right, hold A, press start, that sort of thing. I used that code in Sonic. That was fun. And yeah, as we entered the 3D era, cheat codes were still around, because a lot of what we did in the 2D era passed over to the 3D, which was great. I remember playing Duke Nukem, The first one, which is like, you know, it was 3D on the PlayStation, and I thought it was pretty cool at the time. And I would use the cheat codes, so then I could get the shotgun and the rocket launcher and all that. Now, as the years went by and as the gaming industry grew, we started seeing cheat codes less and less. To me personally, it felt like at the time, we were just maturing and we didn't want to cheat our experiences. When you were younger, the idea of having cheats was fun. I remember I would waste well-spent time, really, but I'd spend a lot of time playing Grand Theft Auto 3 on the PS2 and putting in all those cheats and blowing everything up and shooting everyone. It was a joy. By the time we entered the PS3 and now entering, you know, PS4, well, PS4 has been out for a while, you don't really see cheat codes. And there's a simple reason for this, and it's a little sad, but I think it's something we need to acknowledge. And that is, it's the result of DLC. Now, I don't mean DLC as actual downloadable content, like expansions and this and that, get more things. I'm talking about DLCs that simply make things easier. So, I'm going to have a little bit of a stab at Ubisoft here. And Capcom, they're guilty of it as well. If you want in-game currency, back in the day, that would have been an opportunity for a cheat code. Put in a cheat code, get more gold or treasure or whatever, make the game a bit easier. That is not available these days, because instead, there's normally DLC. You can normally buy extra treasure or extra weapons to make the game that you're having a bit of trouble with easier. And that's really sad. That is outright manipulation, that we don't get cheat codes, so then you're forced to buy it. You're not forced, obviously. Gamers such as myself, we don't do it. We put our foot down and that's it. Now, I don't mean this as a shot to other gamers, but frankly, not everyone has that willpower. And it's also not fair that they get punished just because they need help with their gaming experience. Or maybe it's not even they need help. Maybe they just disagree with the developer's choice of, oh, you only get this amount of treasure. They probably think, well, no, that's not good enough. I want more treasure. And now that's been taken away. It's really upsetting. It's really upsetting. And so now we have our answer. If you ever sat there, maybe you've thought about this topic before you saw this video or listened to the podcast. Maybe you've seen someone else talk about it. I haven't come across anyone else talk about it. I'm sure they have. Like in the land of the internet, come on, everything's discussed. Just look at me smash those bricks. You know, the destruction abilities of Red Faction Guerrilla. I'm just watching the gameplay video as I do this recording and podcast. It's just, to this day, there still isn't better destruction in any video game. Like, prove me wrong, any game you can walk around with a sledgehammer and take everything down. Going back to the topic, though, what there's not much we can really do about it. Like, short of going on a protest, which will be ignored, it just seems to be how things are. I think if we look carefully, we can probably find it. I personally don't really know of modern games that have cheat codes, but I bet you a lot of indie developers probably have cheat codes because they take a lot of their gaming lessons and values from the era that I'm talking about, from the era where cheat codes were a thing. And there was something humble about it. It was just really fun writing it down on a piece of paper. And every time you sat in front of your computer or gaming console, you'd have that piece of paper at hand, you'd load it up, and straight away you'd start putting everything in. And it even in some cases let you experience things that you otherwise wouldn't be able to experience. For example, if you put in a cheat code so then you couldn't die, then falling into lava, which normally would be instant death, wouldn't kill you, and you would then be able to literally run around the lava because you've pretty much broken the game through a cheat code, and you'd be able to access areas which you wouldn't be able to before. Anyway, these are my thoughts. It came to me, I think it may have been mentioned in the Positive Gaming Space Facebook group. I'm not sure that or a random video somewhere. But yeah, it's something which we need to discuss. I want those game cheats back. I want the codes back. I haven't got my hands on Mega Man 11, right? I'm wondering if after this recording, if I jump on Google and I try to find cheat codes, will it exist? You know what? I am going to do that right now. So, doing this live, even though it's pre-recorded, let's see if Mega Man 11 2018 Capcom game has cheats. Let's see. Excuse the typing sound. So, Mega Man 11 cheat codes. Let's see what Google has to say. Yes, I did mean that. Oh, GameFAQs reckons they have something. Mega Man 11 cheats, codes, and secrets. Alright, I'm clicking. Let's see. Unlockables. It's not really cheat codes. It's just saying what happens when you complete the game and stuff. So you can't punch it in. There you go. I was really hoping to be proven wrong. When I saw it pop up in the Google results, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe it's not as, but no, it's just not here. And I guess that makes sense. If Capcom, not that I'm saying they have with this specific game, but if they want to release DLC, that makes the game a little bit easier. No one's going to buy it if you can just put in a cheat code. Ugh. Well, that's a bummer. Anyways, I'm going to end the YouTube segment and we will continue, of course, with the podcast onto our next topic, which that will be the more powerful Switch rumors headed for 2019. I have a lot to say about that. So for those interested, if you're watching the YouTube video, be sure to look up Gaming My Whole Life on your favorite, you know, podcast device, most likely your smartphone or something. And I will see YouTubers later and onwards with the podcast. And continuing on with the podcast. Now, the Nintendo Switch, as many of you know, is a console which is very close to my heart. I've really enjoyed it. I enjoy the Nintendo games and I enjoy the portable feature. Now, there's rumors going on at the moment that a potentially stronger, more refined Nintendo Switch is slated for 2019, which is next year, not long at all. Now, this is interesting because do we even want a stronger Nintendo Switch? Short answer is yes, we do. Like, you can't go wrong with more power. It'll bring him closer to the others, to Sony, to Microsoft. That way we can expect to continue getting awesome third-party support, both from the indie scene and from the AAA developers. This isn't too much of a surprise if you are a Nintendo handheld fan. So if you've enjoyed any of the handhelds before the Switch, which was 100% handheld, so DS, 3DS, and so forth, you would have noticed that there's a lot of iterations of the same handheld. It would normally come out with a larger screen, maybe slicker design, extended battery life, little improvements, nothing huge, and it never left the other handheld version behind. So for example, I bought the 3DS as soon as it came out. I was very excited and I enjoyed it. Later I got out of it though, because frankly the screen was too small for me. And later on, Nintendo did come out with an XL 3DS. And that really sucked for me because I supported them early on and I ended up getting the tiny screen. And if I wanted a larger version, I had to go out and essentially rebuy what I had already bought, but for a larger screen. Never did it. Now, potentially this is what could be happening with the Switch. It could come out with an even larger screen. Personally, I don't think that will actually happen. I think if anything, a refined Nintendo Switch is probably going to be less. It is going to have a smaller screen. It is going to have an improved battery life. And it will most likely hold the same amount of power. The reason why Nintendo would do this is because it's been part of their plan ever since the Nintendo Switch came out, that they wanted not only a Nintendo Switch in every household, but they wanted every family member to have a Switch. At the moment, that just costs too much. Unless you're rich, and if you are, power to you. I'm definitely not one of those rich people. But if you are rich, sure, you can buy a Nintendo Switch for every person in the house. Awesome. Most people can't do that though, and Nintendo is aware of that. So they're then left with two options. They can either, one, reduce the cost of the current Nintendo Switch significantly, and then everyone who buys it pays less, or come out with a more refined version, a bit smaller, so then the portability aspect is improved even more than it is already. Improved battery life, so then those that always like to play out of the dock don't really need to think often, oh, I need to put it back in the dock to recharge it. And by having a smaller screen, that means it will cost less for them to produce. If they produce it for less, they can sell it for less. So that is my expectation. I've been looking at the rumors online for this new Switch for 2019, suggesting it may be even be as strong as the PS4 with an improved Tegra chip and this and that. I don't personally see that happening. I think it would be great because as well as the Switch is doing right now, I don't know what Nintendo will do once the PS5 comes out and the next Xbox. Because there'll be such a graphical leap by then that the Switch wouldn't be able to even get the third-party games, and that'd be sad. I reckon at that time, maybe Nintendo would release a more powerful Switch, and that'd be cool, you know? But for now, I don't think they're there yet. They'll release a cheaper one, and we'll enjoy it. We should expect them to release a different Switch. That's what they've done with all their handhelds, and you can argue until you're blue in the face that the Switch isn't a handheld, it's a console, or that it's a console that is also a handheld. Either way, it plays on both sides of the fence. Those that want a handheld, use it as a handheld. Those that want it as a console, use it as a console. Those that want to take advantage of both, do that. So, frankly, I don't really feel there's much more to discuss, at least on that topic, because, yeah, we won't know because Nintendo doesn't reveal squat. We don't even know about unannounced games that are still coming out this year. Nintendo keeps all their cards close to their chest. You never know what they're thinking. Good or bad, you will only know when Nintendo is ready to tell you. The last topic of the day that I did want to discuss is actually a new Switch game, the new Super Mario Party. That's come out on the Switch. I've heard really good things about it. I've been very excited. For understanding, I haven't played a Mario, I've played three Mario Party games. I played Mario Party 2 on the Nintendo 64. I played the Mario Party game that came out on the Wii, and I'm going to get the Switch Mario Party. So, just three of them. There's been many Mario Parties, and this latest one seems to have quite a fair few things going for it. One is the obvious benefit of multiplayer. You have the Joy-Con. Even if you haven't invested in extra controllers, by default, simply having the Nintendo Switch means your Joy-Con separate and you have two-player action. So that's exciting. Immediately you can try that out. The graphics have definitely taken a big improvement. It isn't the most mind-blowing thing. It's not going to be what you load up on your Switch to show off the power of the Switch, but it's just an overall really smooth presentation. You will play it and you will just know, hey, this looks pretty darn good. Like, this is a very smooth experience, which is lovely. And there's a whole bunch of mini games. It's like 80 or 90, so it's a big number. And what I've enjoyed the most that I've heard research in this is that the games are actually pretty good. Normally with Mario Party games, you need to look hard for the fun games. You have those that are tolerable, those that are okay, and those that are fun. And those fun ones are normally far and few in between, but you make do. Now, this version has a lot of really fun, creative ideas. And because the Nintendo Switch, how can I put this? I don't really have any party games for a group of friends. I have Epic Adventures. I have Zelda Breath of the Wilds. I have Chrono Trigger or Chrono Blades or whatever. I have a bunch. I have Snake Pass. Like, I have a lot of random different games which mainly focus on the single player experience outside of, you know, Splatoon 2, Mario Kart, and Monopoly. A little bit random, but I do have that game as well. Mario Party will be the first game which I own. And when friends come over, it's like, what do we do? Bang. I load that up. There is one thing which I am really disappointed in, though. And that is, the game supports online. Wonderful, as it should. Now, when you think of an online Mario Party, what's the first thing that pops in your head? Playing the game online. Playing the board games. Playing with friends. And hopefully playing with strangers. You don't get to do any of that. You get to play, there's about 20 games that you can, there's 20 mini games that you can play, and that's it. You don't get to play on the board. You don't get to have, see, one of the fun things and yet struggles of Mario Party, when I used to play on the Nintendo 64, for example, was whether or not you had friends to join you. And if you didn't have friends to join you, it wasn't as fun, but you could play with the CPU. You could have fun. Now, sometimes, well, eventually, that also isn't enough. How awesome would it have been if Mario Party, Super Mario Party, on the Nintendo Switch, did online properly? I don't understand why it doesn't connect you to strangers. You don't have to talk to them. You don't have to do voice chat and Nintendo get all upset with the security and protecting our children and all this and that. I just wanted to be able to play with others. So then when I sit down at my console, I play the game, I play the board game, and I'll just always connect it to online. It doesn't have to be against the CPU. Just automatically connect me with other players. That way, I always have an interesting experience. It means every time we play a mini game, I'm playing against real players, and so it won't be the CPU that I've outsmarted. See, that's what happened with me with the other Mario Parties, with Nintendo 64 one, with the Nintendo Wii one. I'm very good at games for the most part. It's rare I play a game and I'm not good at it. It happens sometimes, but normally it doesn't take me long to master it. And Mario Party is definitely not an exception. Once I figured out the mini games, I would always beat the CPU. And I was hoping online would be the answer to this, where I can keep playing, it never gets boring. The one thing which may be the saving grace, is the fact that this is an online game. And I've spoken about it before that in the whole in defense of, you know, Nintendo with their online paid subscription, I mentioned repeatedly, and I'll do it again, and I'm hoping this is the case with Super Mario Party, see no reason why I shouldn't, is the fact that Nintendo is very generous with their updates, with their DLC updates. They're always adding extra content. ARMS, Splatoon 2, Mario Odyssey, other games which they've released, keep getting free goodies. Every once in a while you get a paid version, which is fine. And I'm hoping for this VIP treatment from Nintendo for Super Mario Party. At the moment, there's 4 boards, which isn't so great. Like, it's a pretty small number, let's be honest. And the boards aren't the most exciting. Now, there will be more boards added. there is no reason why Nintendo, in the near future, in 1, 2, 3 months, they won't add, here and there, a new playable character. Some new mini-games. Maybe a completely free board. Maybe a couple. Maybe a few paid boards. The point is, we'll get more. It would have been better if they had more boards to begin with. But overall, as a package, this is the first Mario Party game that has gotten my interest and has gotten really positive reviews. Normally, they get chewed out for being the same old, and I get that. If a game is too similar to the previous one, companies should be torn a new one, even if it is Nintendo, my most favorite company. If they get lazy, absolutely they should get caught out. That's why I praise them so much every time they release a Zelda game, or every time they release a mainline Mario game, or even a Mario Kart. It's always a lot of enhancements added. It's always quite different. It never feels like the previous entry. It isn't like what EA does with FIFA, where it's like FIFA 16 and FIFA 17 and FIFA 18 is like exactly the same, except you get recharged. I'm glad Nintendo doesn't do that. So I'm going to get Mario Party regardless. I just have quite a few games which I need to buy and I don't have time, but I want them all. I want Super Mario Party. I want Mega Man 11, because you know as my loyal listeners that me and Jamil love that blue little bomber. Mega Man 11 looks phenomenal. I would have preferred if it was Mega Man X, just because I think the character design is a lot more cooler and you have those upgrades to the armor and so forth. But if you watch any gameplay of Mega Man 11, it looks really slick. Like, it looks quality. And also, because it's a smaller game, well, smaller compared to, you know, the big RPGs that are going around at the moment and all that sort of thing, it is a smaller experience for a 2018 game. It's been sold at a discounted rate, so I really do appreciate that. And I think when I buy the game, I'll screen record it and I'll have it running in the background when I do my next YouTube video, my next one or two, depending on when I get the game, just so then you can just admire the extra small details. Nintendo's all about the small details. Capcom can be about the small details, but lately they've been getting a bit greedy and I don't want to tear into them because they are doing better. Well, sort of. So, Mega Man 11, awesome, return to form. Devil May Cry 5, return to form, great. But you can buy orbs so that to make things easier. You can buy orbs with real money. I'm not going to rant about it, but just it's relevant. The start of this podcast, we spoke about the fact that cheat codes don't exist because companies would rather charge you to make things easier with actual extra money. And that's what Capcom is doing with Devil May Cry 5. So I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I don't know if I should boycott the game, even though I really wanted it because of that shoddy practice. It's not like if I buy the game, I will also spend to the DLC. But I'm conflicted with, am I sending the wrong message if the game still sells well? And I was part of the people who bought it. Because you vote with your wallet, it's always the case. Anyways, thank you so much for downloading my latest podcast. It's always a pleasure. Now, you know that I've multitasked and stretched out the brand as much as possible. I'm on Facebook, obviously this podcast, and the YouTube channel. And I'm so glad that I can do all three, keep things going. I should have turned off the phone before the recording. Keep things going. But you, my dear listeners, you will always be where I started. You are where I get the most views and downloads and so forth. Like, don't get me wrong. The Facebook group is doing great. The YouTube is starting off a lot slower because that's just the nature of YouTube. But the hundreds and hundreds of downloads that I get, taking months in consideration, the thousands of downloads I get, that's from you guys. Whenever I feel like I don't have the energy to bring these out, I think of you. I think of the fact that at some point, once a week, you're driving in a car or you're just somewhere bored, maybe you're on the train, you want a distraction, and I'm so humbled that you actually choose my podcast to be that distraction. Like, I'll never take that for granted. You've been listening to gaming my whole life. I'll see you guys next time.